America was founded on the principle that God has endowed us with rights. And the first of these listed in the Declaration of Independence is the right to life. In fact, America is going to be celebrating the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence within this year. But in the last half century, abortion has significantly undermined the right to life, which again is mentioned right there in the Declaration of Independence. Recently, abortion by pills have superseded the amount of surgical abortions. Meanwhile, these pills have been basically touted as essentially safe for women. But is that true? Dr. Ingrid Skop is a practicing OBGYN. She's vice president and director of medical affairs at the Charlotte Lozier Institute. And she joins us now to discuss this issue. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Dr. Skop, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. It's great to be back with you.
Sure. Okay. So let me ask you a question. Abortion pills have sometimes even been touted as so safe, they're more safe than a woman taking some Tylenol if they have a headache. Is that true?
Of course it's not true. And we intuitively recognize that the abortion industry is willing to lie in order to promote these drugs to women. In fact, they're four times more dangerous than even a surgical abortion. So the experience is very traumatic for so many women, heavy bleeding, lots of pain, even seeing their child after the abortion. And the complications are far more extensive and common than the abortion industry is willing to tell us.
What percentage of abortions in America today are from these abortion pills?
About two-thirds of abortions, approximately 630,000 in the year 2023, were performed by these drugs, according to the Guttmacher Institute.
And you, as a medical doctor, and you've delivered many babies, you've seen the downside of this just as far as the health of the mother is concerned. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, other than, you know, the long-term mental health effects that many women experience, it should be noted that there are many short-term complications with these drugs. Approximately one out of 20 women will fail to expel all of the tissue. She'll bleed, she'll have pain until she finally finds a doctor who is willing to perform the surgical procedure that she needs. I'm still taking care of these women in the emergency room in Texas, even in pro-life states, or especially in pro-life states, these drugs are being mailed in. When women are ordering them on the internet, there's no medical supervision at all. And when women have complications, there is no abortionist to care for those complications. So these women find themselves without anyone to turn to other than the emergency room. And sadly, we see that so many of these women will not tell the emergency room doctors that they've taken the abortion drugs. So the doctors don't even know what's going on. And many times these women are not getting the care they need.
I think you have mentioned in a previous discussion that sometimes the statistics we can get from abortion, or about abortion rather, from other countries like Sweden or England are actually more accurate than what we have here in America, because here in America it all kind of relies on the self-reporting. But is there something we learn about the danger of these drugs from other countries' studies?
Yes, you're absolutely right. So again, most abortions in our country are paid for privately, so we can't really look at a large insurance database. But the studies that you're referencing from European countries, often their single-payer healthcare will pay for abortions. We can look at that data and find out what sort of events have occurred afterwards. And when we do, we discover really some quite tragic things. We discover that about 7% of these women will need surgery. We discover, if we look long-term, that women are much more likely to die in the year following an abortion than if they had given birth. 2 to 4 times as likely from any cause, 6 to 7 times as likely to commit suicide, which is so tragic. And we should all be aware of that.
What happens? Explain to us the process of these abortion pills. Okay, let's say there's a woman, she discovers she's pregnant. Let's say she's, 10 weeks pregnant, and then she decides to go ahead and get this. How does she get the pills? What happens?
Yeah, so just to back up, the drugs that we're talking about, mifepristone blocks progesterone, so it ends the unborn human's life. Misoprostol then induces contractions to expel the pregnancy tissue. The FDA has said these drugs should only be used until 10 weeks gestational age because at more advanced gestations, they fail more frequently. They don't have the ability to extrude all of the tissue. But at the same time, the FDA has taken away over and over the safeguards that govern the use of these drugs. In 2021, using the COVID pandemic as an excuse, they said it's too dangerous for a healthy pregnant woman to walk into a clinic. Therefore, we need to take away the in-person prescribing requirement. And that has allowed what I just mentioned, women to order these online, to get delivered in the mail, even in pro-life states. And these online questionnaires don't ask all the risk factors for a failure. They don't verify that a woman truly wants an abortion. And in fact, it's been documented. Sometimes men are getting on pretending to be a woman, ordering these drugs, and then coercing their female partner into an abortion. So we can see that this is really just a very troublesome way for these drugs to be distributed, even if there were testing. But of course, there's no testing. There's no ultrasound to document gestational age or to rule out a potentially deadly ectopic pregnancy. No labs to look for anemia or blood type to see if a woman needs a Rogam shot to prevent a future complication. I mean, really, it's not the way anyone should be treated, much less a woman who's in a difficult situation of an unintended pregnancy. She should, at the very least, someone should look her in the eye, make sure that she knows what the alternatives are, including the fact that there are organizations that want to support her to give birth, and to make sure that she really wants the abortion, and to make sure that she is not at high risk for a complication. But of course, none of that is happening right now.
Mm. Well, I was thinking of asking you about why the rise of these abortion pills, but you mentioned COVID, so that's clearly one factor.
Yes, absolutely. The real thing behind the rise and the promotion by the abortion industry is that they have a staffing problem. There are not enough doctors who are willing to end unborn life. Of course, most obstetricians recognize we have two patients, we need to care for them both. And so they weren't able to find enough surgical abortionists. That's why they brought these drugs over, a very politicized process. Again, they're just promoting them to women, as you said, saying safer than Tylenol, which is so deceptive. What they're doing is comparing the underreported abortion deaths to deaths from Tylenol overdoses. Obviously, not a comparative situation at all. But now we see, after the Dobbs decision, the overturn of Roe v. Wade, so many states wanting to protect unborn life legally, we now see that probably that was their foresight, was if there's ever any limitations on abortion in America, this is how we're going to get abortions into women's hands, by providing through these drugs. And in fact, it's even getting worse. They're now telling women, get them in advance of pregnancy. Just have them on hand in case you need them. And I've cared for many women who've been seeking reversal of the abortion drug, which can occur with progesterone to compete for the receptors. But I've had many women call me seeking that because they found out they were pregnant. They immediately took mifepristone because it happened to be in their medicine cabinet. And within a couple hours, they recognized, this is not what I wanted to do.
Wow. First of all, okay, a couple of quick questions here. You mentioned at one point, because they recognize in the clinic that there are two patients. You're not saying the woman who's going to abort or wants to abort and the unborn child, are you? I mean, I can't imagine the clinics that are, you know, all set to do abortions even recognize in any way the humanity of the unborn. So help me to understand, what did you mean by the two patients?
What I meant by that is that obstetrician gynecologists know that we have two patients. And even though, unfortunately, our very progressive, very pro-abortion vocal medical organizations try to make the argument that this is healthcare and that women need it, the reality is they're saying that, and yet they can't talk the average obstetrician into providing abortions, because regardless of how we feel about the politics of the issue, we do not want to be the agent that ends the life of one of our patients. So it's kind of subtle, because if you listen to the pro-abortion obstetric organizations like ACOG, you would think, oh, well, surely they all do abortions. But the reality is only 7 to 14% of obstetricians will perform an abortion. So there's a disconnect. But as a result, it meant that they were not able to find enough abortionists. And that's why they've had to pivot to these pills. In this situation, they're letting the woman be her own abortionist. She is self-managing. She's prescribing the pills to herself online. She's taking them. There is no doctor involved in the process at all for so many of these women. So we've gone full circle. When they used to say self-managed abortions were a bad thing prior to Roe, now they love self-managed abortions, and they're promoting them to women more and more.
And sometimes you said that the mothers or would-be mothers that are trying to get these abortions or having these abortions at home, that sometimes they see the results of the abortion and suddenly realize, oh my goodness, this little thing that was expelled from my body was more human than I realized.
Yes, absolutely. Of course, the abortion industry tells them it's just a clump of cells. You don't even have to look. You can just flush and you won't see. But many women do see. So at 10 weeks gestation, he's about in the size and appearance of a gummy bear, clearly identifiable as human. But in addition, because these drugs are not being regulated, there are many women taking the drugs far later than that. There have been stories of women delivering stillborn babies who could have survived, seeing these children, not knowing what to do, freaking out, burying them in their backyard. The emotional damage that is happening to women in our country from these drugs cannot be quantified. And yet, again, the abortion industry is willing to let these women be harmed. They don't care about the collateral damage for women as long as they end the life of that unborn child.
That's amazing. Okay, you mentioned that sometimes the women will store these drugs in advance. Well, are there ever expiration dates on these drugs?
There are expiration dates. And in fact, you may have seen in the news that the Trump administration is getting ready to destroy a bunch of expired abortion drugs that our prior administration decided to stockpile. But nonetheless, the biggest problem, I think, other than the fact, as I mentioned, that women are taking them before they've even had a chance to think about what they want to do when they have them available, but also how do they know what gestational age they are? Like, again, it's supposed to be the case, and the FDA pretends that it requires doctors to know the gestational age before they provide these drugs. Of course, there's no way they can do that without ultrasound when they're distributing them online. But they still cling to this fiction that they are requiring that. But of course, if a woman is getting them in advance of the pregnancy, we have no idea what gestational age she's going to be then at. So again, you know, abortion has just become the one part of medicine where it's the Wild West, where anything goes. Wow. And of course, this is harmful for the children, of course, but also harmful for the mothers who are going through this without anybody really making sure that this is what they want and that it's not going to harm or even kill them.
Well, we have about 30 seconds left. Let me give you a website, LozierInstitute.org. Lozier is spelled L-O-Z-I-E-R, Dr. Ingrid Skop. How about a closing thought on abortion pill reversal? 30 seconds.
Oh, thank you. So mifepristone blocks progesterone. High-dose progesterone will compete for those receptors, allowing them to stay turned on and thereby saving that baby's life in at least 2/3 of cases. So it is an option for a woman to have another choice if she regrets her choice to take mifepristone.
All right, Dr. Ingrid Skop, thank you so much. Keep up the great work. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.